Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Local News Roundup. Man accused of threatening officers with knife. An Odessa man was arrested Saturday after police said he threatened officers while armed with a knife and a Bible. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers were summoned to the 1400 block of West 13th Street because a man was acting irrationally. When officers arrived, Alan Antonio Puebla, 42, was pacing on the sidewalk with the Bible in one hand and a knife in the other, the report stated. He refused to answer the officers' commands, and they used less than lethal means to take him into custody. Puebla was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of two counts of aggravated assault of a public servant, a second-degree felony punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. He remained in the Ector County Jail on surety bonds totaling $50,000 on Monday night. Aggravated kidnapping suspect arrested. A 27-year-old Euless man was arrested Saturday on multiple warrants issued in June after his girlfriend accused him of pistol whipping her and trying to force her to drive him to Dallas at gunpoint. According to an Odessa Police Department report, Tristan Anthony Ortez's 26-year-old girlfriend called 911 from a gas station on East Highway 191 on June the 3rd. When officers arrived, she told them Ortez had physically forced her into the corner of her apartment on East Highway 191 and forcibly took her phone away from her. She told them when she retrieved her gun, he took it away from her and hit her in the head with it, the report stated. She said Ortez put the gun to her head and said he was going to kill her, but instead fired a shot out the window of her bedroom, the report stated. She escaped from the apartment, but when she went back, a still-armed Ortez forced her into her car and demanded she take him to Dallas, the report stated. While at the gas station on 191, she told officers Ortez began chambering a round into the gun, causing one to fall to the floorboard. According to the report, officers found a bullet hole, glass, a damaged wall, and a spent bullet casing in the woman's bedroom and a bullet in her car. They also noticed the woman had a knot on her forehead and red marks on her chest. Officers obtained warrants for aggravated robbery, deadly conduct, and unlawful possession of a firearm by a felon. The Ector County Sheriff's Office arrested Ortez on those outstanding warrants Saturday and on a warrant issued following his August the 25th indictment for aggravated kidnapping with a deadly weapon. He remained in custody Monday night on surety bonds totaling $415,000. Ellen Noel breaks ground on renovations. With dignitaries and politicians on hand, the Ellen Noel Art Museum celebrated a milestone Tuesday, breaking ground on a little over $16 million worth of renovation that will likely be finished in 2025. The event was marked with a champagne toast, remarks, the groundbreaking, and brunch. CBS 7 anchor Jay Hendricks was the MC. The Capitol Enhancement Project started in 2019. The original goal was $12 million, but after fundraising efforts began, the community experienced the mass shooting, COVID, and the oil bust, which resulted in delays and price increases. Campaign Chairman Austin Keith said support for the renovations is strong and the project is now coming to fruition. "We're breaking ground on a vision," Keith told audience members. In an interview before the event started, he said everything in the museum will be updated. "This building is a little over 35 years old, and it needs to be updated because now you have to have zoned areas in your gallery. You have to have fire suppression systems. You have temperature control, humidity control, so everything is going to be brought up to date for a functioning Smithsonian-affiliated art museum, Keith said. Keith added that the museum benefits Odessa and Midland and communities in between with its programs for the communities and the schools. He has served on different boards in the community and was approached to help with fundraising. They sold me on the idea once I saw the statistics about art being so important to our students and our children and our community itself. I said this is a win-win. Odessa has to have culture. It's not just about Odessa. It's about the whole Permian Basin, Keith said. Ellen Newell Executive Director Sheila Puri noted that it's been a long and complicated road to get to this point. Our lives have been pulled and pushed over the last 5 years in ways that none of us would have ever imagined. What I would say is, West Texas, we endure. We have resilience like nowhere else, so we're still standing. It is because of the people in this room and the people in this community and the people in the basin, Perry said. State Representative Brooks Landgraf said before his remarks that culture is something that makes a community great. We are a hard-working oil and gas community here in Odessa, and we're very proud of that. That's our identity. But it's also good to have some contrast and have arts and culture, too. It also brings a lot of visitors to our community. It's a great asset for us to have, Landgraf said. Having a bigger and better Ellen Newell Art Museum, he said, is great for Odessa because it attracts a lot of visitors, provides opportunities, and it's a great place to enjoy some good art every once in a while. He added that he and his wife Shelby have an 8-year-old daughter who loves going to the Ellen Newell Art Museum. She's involved with a lot of programs that they have, and she loves it. When I was a child, I went to some of the child's play events at what was then the Art Institute of the Permian Basin. So it's something that our family has really taken advantage of. It's going to be a beautiful new building. We're excited about that. But then just the new programs and opportunities that are going to be offered by the great staff at the Ellen Newell Art Museum is also going to be fantastic, Landgraf said. Glenn Rogers, president of the FMH Foundation Board, said Marie Hall, who established the foundation, had two main areas that she particularly wanted to focus on, health and the arts. Marie was a great believer in planting seeds, nurturing it, and watching it grow. That's what she liked to do, and so we feel in a way like we're planting a new seed today, Rogers said. I know the museum already exists, but it's going to be a major addition, so we're not only helping to plant the seed, but we're helping to nurture it and to cultivate the arts out here as it grows, Rogers said. Veronica Dixon, senior grant manager at the FMH Foundation, said Tuesday was a tremendous day. It's been a long time coming. I know they tried to launch this campaign before the pandemic hit, and they have just been relentless in their efforts. We're finally here. It's finally happening. It's a huge day, Dixon said. Lee Lewis is the construction manager at RISC. Park Hill is the architect, and Steve Patton of SP Design and Consulting, LLC, is the project manager. Fifth grade strings program draws veteran music instructor back. To help make the transition for elementary string students to middle school easier, Ector County ISD has brought back fifth grade strings. Sally Poole, a formerly retired strings teacher, is the itinerant fifth grade string instructor. Retired for 2 years before coming back, she has taught music and been an assistant director and director of orchestra for ECISD at all levels for 28 years. The last 4 years, Poole was assistant orchestra director at Permian High School. Before middle schools were introduced to the district, Every middle school director and the itinerant instructor had elementaries assigned for them to teach at 5 days a week. It was found that missing that year of instruction didn't benefit students. So Executive Director of Fine Arts Aaron Hawley and Fine Arts Coordinator Shari Riley decided to bring back fifth grade strings. Poole is the only itinerant instructor, but all the middle school directors have schools of their own and both high schools. As of late August, Riley said they were covering 15 or 16 campuses. "We are adding campuses as we can. We're working with everyone's schedule," Riley added. Middle and high school directors are going to the elementary schools to teach fifth graders strings. When they start orchestra in fifth grade, it gives them a whole year to learn how to read music, learn how to do rhythms, learn how to make music with a group of people, not just by yourself, Poole said. That prepares them to go to a middle orchestra, band, or choir. They're learning how to make music on their own, how to read it, write it, and perform it on their own or in a big group. Poole said this gives them somewhere to belong with like-minded students. It just makes it a lot better experience, and they tend to do better grade-wise. They tend to do better with relationships. It's really great, and like I said, it creates a love for making music, not just listening to it, but actually making music on their own, she added. The program is funded through the FMH Foundation and the RIA Great House Charitable Trust, Riley said. The funds go toward purchasing instruments. They are in the second year of those grants. The strings program restarted in the 22-23 school year, but with 28-30 elementary campuses, not all of which have fifth grade, they couldn't do it all at once. The plan was to implement it over 3 years. This is the second year. Riley said they started with some of the middle and high school directors, but then were fortunate to bring Poole back. "She's doing fabulous," Riley added. "Students are flocking to this. Our enrollment is much larger than we anticipated, and so we're excited about that. It's a win-win whether they continue to orchestra or move on to band or another music fine arts. It creates a connection, possibly, with a middle school teacher. If they are headed to that middle in sixth grade, then they already have a relationship with a teacher. That's important. That's a very difficult transition going into sixth grade, so we're trying to give them an activity and a place to belong in addition to excellent fine arts education." Growing up in Odessa, Poole started playing piano in first grade and picked up violin in sixth grade and flute in junior high and high school. She added that there are musicians throughout her family. She attended Dowling, Bonham, Permian, Odessa College, and University of Texas Permian Basin, and taught for ECISD. "When I started at Bonham, I only knew how to play violin. But then you have to learn everything because you're teaching everything. So those first couple of years, I'm just learning right along with the kids. But I love it. It's the greatest job," Poole said. In late August, she saw 121 students, but more students were coming. She said she talked to each fifth grade class to recruit students. "I played a little bit of every instrument, let them see what they could be doing," she said. Then she sent a parent note or a QR code because the students have to have parental permission to participate, Poole said. She stressed that there are a lot of people in on making the program successful. Secondary and elementary principals are having to get on board and really, really work to say, "Okay, I give up the secondary director to go teach elementary," and then the elementary principals are saying, "Okay, you can come to my campus at this time." It's just so many little pieces going together to make this possible for fifth grade that it's a district-wide effort. It's nice that it's important to that many people that we can see the importance of fine arts with our kids, Poole said. Hispanic Heritage Celebration begins in Odessa. The Celebrando Nuestra Kultura begins Friday in Odessa as LULAC/Hispanic Heritage of Odessa begin events to celebrate Hispanic culture. The events will continue through October the 15th and include Pioneer Exhibit opens at 10 a.m. Friday at the Ector County Library to celebrate the Benito Ramos family. The Recepcion Fiesta Patria is at 2 p.m. Saturday at Ahuas Mexican Restaurant, 2100 Andrews Highway. The 16th of September parade is scheduled at 6 p.m. Saturday from 17th and Grant Street to 9th Street. Taco and Tequila Fiesta in downtown Odessa begins at 3 p.m. Saturday. Hispanic Heritage Grito de Dolores kickoff and awards is scheduled at 9 p.m. Saturday in downtown Odessa. The Latina Charles Luncheon is scheduled 11:30 a.m. September the 22nd at MKA Special Occasion, 500 South Grant. The Don Quixote Outstanding Educator is scheduled at 6 p.m. September the 25th at ECISD Administration Patio, 802 North Sam Houston. The Odessa Hispanic Chamber 5K Run is scheduled at 8 a.m. September the 30th at McKinney Park, 625 West Poole Road. Contact Odessa Hispanic Chamber at 432-339-6422. La Llorona Legend Teatro is scheduled at 7 p.m. September the 31st at Music City Mall Main Stage. The Gala Annual Exhibición de Arte is scheduled at 6 p.m. October the 5th at the Premier Ballroom, 6482 West University Boulevard. The Latina Entrepreneur Academy Graduation Yo Soy Awards is scheduled at 6 p.m. October the 6th at MKA Special Occasions, 500 South Grant. The Hispanic Medical Professionals event is scheduled at 11:30 a.m. October the 12th at ORMC Auditorium. Obituaries. Alice Marie Anderson of Odessa passed away on September the 8th. The family will receive friends for visitation Friday, September the 15th, from 5 to 7 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held Saturday, September the 16th at 12 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home's chapel, followed by burial at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Nancy Ann McKenzie Sartan, 78, of Converse, Texas, passed away on Wednesday, August the 23rd. Celebration of life was held Saturday, September the 9th at MacArthur Park Church of Christ in San Antonio. Linda Milburn Mayer passed away September the 10th. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that memorials be sent to Meals on Wheels. Cara Noel passed away on September the 6th at the age of 35. A heartfelt celebration of Cara's life will take place at 1 p.m. on Saturday, September the 13th at Crossroads Church. Barbara Joan Jody Jenkins, age 92, passed away on September the 6th. Christina Nicole Alvarado, age 36, of Odessa, died Wednesday, September the 6th. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, September the 13th at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. Nancy Lynn Britt, age 75, of Odessa, died Friday, September the 8th, in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 2 p.m. Saturday the 14th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Louise Virginia Cleaver, age 94, of Odessa, died Saturday, September the 2nd, in Odessa. Celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. September the 14th at Bethlehem Baptist Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Willadine B. Kramer, age 97, of Odessa, died Tuesday, August the 15th, in Odessa. A memorial service is scheduled for 10 a.m. September the 15th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Marcel B. Lopez, age 79, of Odessa, died Saturday, September the 19th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m. Friday, September the 15th, at St. Anthony Catholic Church. Ismael Martinez Jr., age 57, of Odessa, died Saturday, September the 9th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. September the 14th in Odessa. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Louise Powers, age 89, of Midland, died Saturday, September the 9th in Midland. Funeral service is scheduled for 11 a.m. September the 15th at the Fairmont Park Church of Christ in Midland. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Dear Dr. Roach, my friend uses an Inspire device for sleep apnea. It bothers him during the day when he feels it stimulating his tongue. Can you tell me about this? Signed, R.S. Dr. Roach answers, obstructive sleep apnea is caused by the back of the tongue closing the airway when the muscles relax during sleep. Snoring is caused the same way, and severe snoring is a red flag that OSA might exist. Although OSA is common in people who are overweight, a person at any weight with a tight airway anatomy may develop sleep apnea. The airway can stay closed despite a person trying to breathe until oxygen and carbon dioxide levels in the body become abnormal enough where the person wakes up for a few breaths. I think of this as an alarm bell going off inside the head. This may include hundreds of times a night without the person being aware at all. Sleepiness and lack of concentration during the day are common symptoms of untreated OSA. The primary treatment is continuous positive airway pressure, essentially a fan blowing air in during sleep via a mask, which keeps the airway from closing. CPAP devices remain the first-line treatment for OSA. Although CPAP devices are effective for most people, quite a few can't tolerate the mask or the pressure, so the Inspire device is an alternative. The device measures when inspiration begins through an electrical lead on the chest. It then stimulates a main nerve leading to the back of the tongue so that every time a person breathes, the muscle is stimulated to move the tongue out of the way and reopen the airway. The device has been proven to improve the severity of sleep apnea. Serious adverse effects of this device were rare, but 40% of people, like your friend, had discomfort from stimulation. 21% developed tongue abrasions, and 10% had dry mouth. Other options include dental devices, ideally ones that are custom fitted by a dentist with expertise in devices for sleep apnea. For Dr. Roach's advice, readers may write to him at P.O. Box 536475, Orlando, Florida 32853-6475. Dear Abby, I'm 26 and not currently in a relationship. I don't have many friends. I'd like to have more, and I try. I wasn't popular in high school or middle school either. I have been in and out of college, so I haven't been able to make friends there. I have worked at my job for 3 years, and it's the same story. People say I'm sweet, nice, and cheerful, but those traits aren't helping me. I know you've written about this problem before. Can you give me some tips for being someone who others want to be around? signed Eager in South Carolina. Dear Eager, the keys to being well-liked by both men and women are these. Be kind. Be honest. Be tactful. Don't be afraid of giving someone a compliment if it's deserved. You do not have to be beautiful or handsome to put your best foot forward. Be well-groomed, tastefully dressed, and conscious of your posture. People who stand tall project self-confidence. Stay informed about current events, but refrain from forcing your opinions on others. Ask them what they think and encourage them to share their opinions. If you're smarter than most, resist the temptation to be a know-it-all. Good conversationalists are interested in what others have to say rather than filling the air with the sound of their own voices. Cultivate your own interests so you will have things to talk about with others. My booklet, How to Be Popular, contains many other tips on how to approach others and what to say and not to say when trying to make conversation. It can be ordered by sending your name and address, plus a check or money order for $8, U.S. funds, to Dear Abby Popularity Booklet, P.O. Box 447, Mount Morris, Illinois, zip code 61054-0447. Shipping and handling are included in the price. Above all, remember that social adeptness isn't something that comes naturally to everyone. It is a skill that needs to be practiced until it becomes second nature. When you receive your booklet, don't read it just once. Keep it on hand for reference because it contains many helpful suggestions about how to be the kind of individuals others find interesting and attractive. And another Dear Abby letter. Dear Abby, I am a man who has been married to my husband for 2 years. My problem is his brother. He tries to sabotage our marriage every chance he gets, from making rude comments to propositioning me and sending me nude pics of himself. The other problem is, my husband always takes his brother's side. He knows his brother is dysfunctional, but insists I should keep giving him another chance, even though, when I have, it never turns out well. What should I do? Signed, Bugged in Arizona. Dear Bugged, so your brother-in-law has the hots for you, and your husband is in denial. It may take couples counseling to help him see the light. In the meantime, spend as little time around the brother as possible, and when you are forced to be in his company, do not be alone in a room with him.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.